The following podcast is brought to you by the Pokemon Center. We hope to see you again.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I'm your host, Jake.
And I am your guide, Josh.
And this is a podcast where we take you through the world of Pokemon, root by root.
City by city.
Brick by brick.
Landmark by landmark. You know, whatever, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're work in progress. This is only episode two, which is the road to Viridian City. Well, technically we've already been on the road to Viridian City.
We are at the gates of Viridian City.
And we're going to talk all about that a little bit later, but first, we're going to do some Pokemon news. All right, Josh, what do we got for Pokemon news?
Oh, just a little bit. You know the Pokemon Zygarde, I'm sure. He's one of your favorites, right?
I'm very loosely familiar with Zygarde.
Zygarde is a legendary Pokemon introduced in Generation 6.
Is he a big bug?
He's like a bug snake. He's a real weird-looking thing.
Because he's in X and Y. He's the Z to X and Y.
Yes.
I never found him.
And I haven't caught him, so I'm not entirely familiar with this Pokédex entry, and I'm a little ashamed to admit that I don't know that much about Zygarde.
Shuckus.
But they have officially announced new forms of this goober. So there's a new Pokémon movie that just came out in Japan, and at the end, like, after the credits, there's this little...
Samuel L. Jackson comes out and is like, no. Pokemon, I want you to be in the Avengers.
No. There's this little green guy who pops up, right? And like when he first popped up, someone was like, hey, there's a new Pokemon at the end of this movie. I couldn't get a picture. Here's a vague drawing of what I think I remember him looking like.
That's the best. Because Japan is like very serious about spoilers and stuff like that.
Yeah. So he looks really weird. They finally shown official artwork of him, and some people have snuck some photos in, but they were like real blurry in the dark theater photos.
Yeah.
But he's this little green guy. It looks like he has two eyes, but only one of them has a pupil in it.
You tweeted this out a couple weeks ago, right?
I tweeted it. It's also on Facebook, which is where I'm actually looking at it right now.
All right, I'm gonna look at it on Twitter.
And he's like just a little blob. He's got like a red jewel in his baure.
Okay, one eye is an eyeball, the other is like a spot.
Right. That is actually a new form for Zygarde. That is the core form, if I'm getting the names correctly.
So by core form, I assume you mean like this is what a Zygarde is?
I guess, because there's also the Zygarde cell form, which in the picture is the one right next to it. It's actually the smallest form.
That's one unit of Zygarde.
That is the barest you can have a Zygarde. And it looks like it's just
the core form.
Squished out with one of those dough rollers.
A rolling pin?
A rolling pin. Couldn't think of the name of it. I've been trying for a while.
But that's not the only new form.
No, he has four new forms, five if you include the one that he already is.
Okay.
So these are the first two, Cell and Core. And then at 10% power, he turns into, I guess, a Doberman Pinscher.
Yeah, with a scarf? Or is that a leash?
Scarf, leash. I don't know. He's got a bunch of weird, like, jaggies sticking off of him.
He looks very strange.
Let me zoom in on this a little bit. He's very strange. But that same kind of like polygonal gem pattern.
Yeah, it's like a hexagon.
Is consistent.
Yeah.
He's got weird eye. This eye has no pupil. You can't see his other eye because it's like a profile shot.
Who knows what that eye could look like?
So that's Zygarde at 10%.
Okay.
Power or collectiveness. I don't know what the percent means.
Right.
And then the current form, the one that you can just catch in X and Y, is 50%.
Okay, the Snake Bug Man.
Snake Bug Man. Snake Bug Man Zygarde. Well, Snake Bug Zygarde. Because then perfect, or complete, I think. I keep calling it perfect because I've been reading a lot of comparisons to Dragon Ball Z.
Sure.
As far as the levels and everything. Complete Zygarde is...
A Megazord.
Is the Megazord of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Right? Because the core of it looks like Zygarde. His chest is... the face of the snake bug that you can catch in X and Y.
Yeah.
But then he has a head on top of that, which has eyes and stuff. Totally bipedal. He's human esque.
He's got like his toes curl up on his shoes, he like has
iron chic boots.
Yep, and then he's got these two things on the side on either side of him. They're like, they're not wings.
They're like shields.
I don't know. They're big flaps. And
one's red and one's blue. Such are. And get ready for these names, you guys. Xerneas, which I'm pretty sure I'm saying right.
I say Xerneas too, yes.
And Yveltal, which I have no idea if that's right or not.
I just call him Eves.
Why can't they just name Pokemon easy things to say?
I don't know. It's not fun that way.
So I think this last form is a combination of all three of them?
I don't know, because there's nothing to kind of indicate it other than those are the exact red and exact blue of right. Xerneas and Eves.
Unless it's just showing that he is the balance between the two, but then how do you right. get him to 100% if you don't have to put more pieces in?
I don't know, because like, Xerneas is life, and Yveltal is death.
Is death.
So is he purgatory?
Maybe.
Or like... comas. He's the coma Pokemon.
He's the legendary Pokemon of comas.
Oh, obviously.
Duh.
Makes so much sense now.
And then also revealed with these goofy guys is, I think maybe the goofiest thing Pokemon has done so far. It's a new Greninja form, okay?
Possibly Mega Greninja.
It's not a Mega Greninja.
No?
No, they... It's a new form, but they make sure to say that, like, oh, he looks a little bit like Ash, doesn't he, you guys? He does.
Oh, God, you're right.
He's got his little cheeks kind of turn into Ash's hair shape. And then, like, there's the red crest to represent the hat and stuff. There is, like, a different, it looks like ice bug wings or something on his back, but the rest of him is just Greninja.
What the heck?
There is, in X and Y... like an old legend, somebody tells you about it. I don't remember where, but they're like, hey, there's this old legend of a Froakie turning into a man.
I don't remember that.
So I don't know if this is like Greninja mimicking, like starting to mimic the appearance of Ash. Because Ash has, I don't know if he has a Greninja. I know he has a Froakie, so he might have a Greninja by now. I don't, I'm not up to speed on the anime.
No.
Which is, you know, is what it is. But it's just, it's really weird that they would make him look like Ash. Like, it makes sense in the anime, but, like, why are they going to explain that in the games where Ash doesn't exist?
Is it even going to be in the game?
Yes. Come on. Why? It'll but probably like, be an event. Be like, get Ash's Greninja that looks like his head.
I just don't know what... Like, I don't know what in the game circumstances... Because they don't do anything for X and Y anymore because they've put out more games since then. They've moved on to Alpha... Sapphire and Omega Ruby.
Well, they've revealed the name of the anime, too. The new anime series coming out, which is Pokemon X, Y, and Z.
So are they putting out a Z?
So I think Z's coming out. I think we're going back to the traditional third installment as opposed to the
parts
Black 2 and White 2.
Right, good, because I was not a fan. I never played them.
I love the 2-version gimmick, but I also really like the both of them coming together in a 3rd version later.
Yeah. I'll get Z. I've been itching to play that again.
So I think that's all the news. Anything else that's happened isn't, like, real major.
I have some news.
Okay.
I started playing Omega Ruby again.
Whoa. What?
Yeah. Your boy here is now the proud owner of 3 badges and 12 Pokemon in my decks. I don't know if we're going to talk about it later in the naming section, but my convention for this... playthrough is all people names.
I have a lot from my original playthrough of Alpha Sapphire that are just people names.
Yeah, it just tickles me.
I don't remember all of them. The only one I remember is my Manectric name is Holly.
Because of Thurman Sparky Plug.
Yep.
AKA.
Turns out it was a girl, so Holly still works really well.
Works, yeah. I have a Torchic. Well, it's not a Torchic anymore. It's the middle form.
Combusken.
That's it. It's his name is Owen. Because Owen Hart was not a nugget, chicken nugget.
We'll save this for the name raider section.
So yeah, a whole bunch of good ones. That's it. I had to ask you what bike was best, and you're like,
you did.
and you're like, oh, you can change. They just do different things. So I picked the Mach bike, which goes real fast. I assume the Acro bike jumps.
You can do little bunny hops and wheelies and like hop to the left or right. If you're on a route. And I think the next route that you're going to has it. You'll see, like, these white rails.
Yeah.
And that you can take the acro bike on there and like hop over the rails.
Okay. That's pretty neat.
And the mock bike can go up like the sand hills.
Okay.
But eventually you'll get them both.
Sweet.
I just don't remember what triggers that.
So I'm playing this and I have to fight my rival, whose name I don't remember. Brendan?
Yes.
Because you can't name it, right?
Can you in this one? No, you can't in this one because it's somebody else's kid.
Yeah.
professor's kid.
Right. So here's Brendan. And he's like, we're going to fight now. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll womp on you for a little while. That's fine. And he sent out a Swampert. Not a Swampert. What's the second form?
Marsh Stomp.
Marsh Stomp. That is the dumbest looking Pokemon I have ever seen in my entire life. He's got this big circle head and like cheek spikes. And he just looks like he has no idea what he's doing there.
Yeah, I picked Mudkip because I like Torchic, but I don't like anything that he evolves into. And out of those, I like Swampert the most. I'm not a huge fan of any of the starters, really.
Yeah, that's why I kind of stopped, because I'm just not invested in any of the Pokemon. I'm like, I want to get to a Zangoose.
You're a little ways away from the Zangoose.
I know that. I'm not super invested. So, like, I like my Poochyena. That's it. Like, you know. So, but I'm playing again. I'm making an effort to play again. So I will keep you guys updated on my progress going through.
All right.
Going through it.
I guess we can move on. I did manage to post on a subreddit on our Stunfisk. So thank you guys for letting me shill myself on your forum.
Because
our Pokemon would not let me. There's a rule that says ask permission to self-advertise. And I was like, okay, I will. And they never got back to me. And I have a lot of community-driven stuff for this that we want to do.
Yeah.
Right? So I started posting stuff. And I guess in one of them, I got a little too promote-y and they deleted it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, on the one hand, it seems like it's a pretty okay community, because Reddit's like, it's kind of a garbage dump. Like, a lot of Reddit is just like a bunch of like awful trash people. But Pokemon seems okay. Like, the people.
It is. And I understand they don't want just like a bunch of garbage on.
Yeah. The forum. I get that. But like,
Tell me to ask for permission, but then just don't reply to me when right? I do.
And like,
you don't want me to post, that's fine. Just tell me that.
Right. It's really weird. It's because you can't just go like, hey guys, here's my Pokemon podcast. It's pretty fun. Check it out. Anywhere.
But someone else, I guess, can, because if it's not self-promotion, you can say, hey, look at this sweet Pokemon podcast I found.
Right.
I'm not telling you to do anything. So, I mean, draw your own conclusions
from
that.
But do with it what you will.
But if you're here from Stunfisk, welcome. I hope you guys have fun and enjoy what we're doing.
Yeah, I have no idea what our Stunfisk is about.
It's a competitive place, I guess, where they just talk about like competitive Pokemon, what works, what doesn't. But they have a little mega thread, I guess is what they called it, every Tuesday, where it's just post whatever you want. And they're like, you could post in there if you want. So I did.
Cool. So if you guys saw that and came from there, welcome.
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 Glad to have you aboard.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, I think we're going to just jump right into this week's city.
All right. Welcome to Viridian City, the eternally green paradise.
A.K.A. the City of Evergreen. Only two slogans here.
Yeah, that's neat.
Generations 1, 2, and 3 all use the same one, and then Generation 4 was like, we're going to bore it up. We're going to just be the City of Evergreen
We're going to be different. This is a city.
This is a city. This is our first city.
Now,
Has our first gym in it,
yep.
So sit tight. This might be a long one.
This might go a little bit longer, but Pokemon News was a lot shorter, so I think right. It evens out. As I understand it, a city is any town that has a mayor. Is there a mayor of Viridian City?
Maybe. There's one house that you cannot access, so there might be a mayor in there.
Okay. What's the town layout look like?
It's weird. Like, when you're playing it, you don't get a full scope of what it looks like. So when you look at a map of it, you're like, this is an odd setup.
I was looking at a map today, and I was like, I don't remember any of this stuff, because you only see it in like a tiny square at a time.
So it's split into like two distinct sides. There's the eastern side, which is where everything is civilized, where all your buildings are, and like the roads throughout the city are, I say the roads, it's like one little loop,
right.
Is paved. And then on the west, you have just like I think I wrote down, it's a tree farm, question mark?
Yeah.
Because there's just like a bunch of thick little trees, and there's like a tiny pond down at the bottom.
Right, there's a path behind it.
And then that leads out to Route 22 on the west, and you can go up to go to Route 2 north.
Yeah, I do still have the map pulled up. It's really weird.
And like, I don't know what size the game wants me to believe that these trees are, but they are very small. Like, even compared to the trees that border the city, they're smaller, right?
I'm looking at the heart gold, soul silver
one.
That's
the one I think I'm picturing.
Yeah, so like...
Okay, no, they're the same size.
Yeah, they're all the same size, but they're tiny trees. I don't know. There's a fence,
they're fenced off?
Yeah, it seems like a waste of space. It seems like a big waste.
Well, there's a path that runs up behind them, and there's an item hidden up there. I think it's a potion.
Right.
But I'm not positive what the item is. And then there's like a little cut tree that you can cut and then just come back out into the city. It's a very odd layout. There are six buildings. A Pokemon Center, a Pokemart, the Pokemon Academy, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
The gym.
A house with a door and a house without a door.
A house with a regular house and then some weird...
The mayor's house.
The mayor's house. Which he doesn't want anyone coming
locked
in.
He's got
a lot of mayoral duties, yeah. I understand. I started playing Animal Crossing again. I get what it's like to be a mayor.
I want to start Animal Crossing again. This is a tangent. I want to start Animal Crossing again just because I want to write the song "Oh Money Forever," and I would need the inspiration to do that. Right. The only way to really do that is to play Animal Crossing. Yeah. So let's. What's in this? Let's start small. What's in this little tiny house that you can get into?
I don't think it's anything important. It's probably just an NPC who gives you some like basic advice in there.
Pokemon fight each other.
Because it is not in the notable places. And I just didn't like pick up a game and go there to check.
Right.
Because I started Heart Gold again, so it's going to take me forever to get back to Viridian City, and I don't exactly know where my Leaf Green is. So
my little brother did give it back to you.
He did, I know. It might be in my Game Boy Micro, which I also can't find. So
okay, so never mind. You got your Pokemon Center, which is the first Pokemon Center in the game. So that's cool. This is kind of the introduction of healing your Pokemon. And, yeah. Like, this is also where the PCs are stored.
And it's the first building you come across. Like, you walk into town and boom, there's a Pokemon
Center. Yeah, it's right there.
Because you just had, presumably, a couple battles on Route 1, and your Pokemon's a real low level, so he's probably a little hurt.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have, like, a potion.
But I don't want to use it.
But how do I heal him? Like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be an inn or something I can stay at. And there is. It's a Pokemon Center.
It's a Pokemon Center. So you go in there and you're like, hey, heal these for free thanks to universal healthcare in the Poke World. And they're like, okay, do, 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 bing, bong, bong. And
put them on a weird machine.
Yeah, it's like a cupcake tray. And I never quite understood what happens in there, but it heals your Pokemon.
It zaps them to health.
I'm looking at the map right now, and there's an empty lot, which is just drives me crazy. Because it's a city.
Is there an empty lot?
Yeah, like right next to the Pokemon Center.
Yep, just an empty lot. Coming soon.
another house, I guess. And then there's also the Pokemart. This is the first Pokemart as well.
Yeah.
So they're kind of giving you the two major features of the game. Like two major things that you will need to interact with a lot.
Right, yeah. You'll come here when you're hurting. And someone in there, I think, even tells you, like, they'll cure everything. Heal your health, cure status. Refresh your PP, whatever.
Yeah.
That's PowerPoints.
Give you plenty of
PP. We're all Pokemon fans. We're all mature.
We've all made the jokes. Everyone here has made the jokes. And in the Pokemart, you go in there and you can buy Pokeballs or you can buy potions. This is a super low-level one in Red and Blue.
Yeah. And Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I think they start to scale Pokemarts based on how many gym badges you have.
Right. And by the time you get here, you should have at least 8. So
you can't get here without it, as far as I know.
So you can get Ultra Balls.
But yeah, you can
get,
like, to start off in Red and Blue and Yellow, Fire Red, Leaf Green, all the fun stuff. You can get, like, potions, Pokeballs, I think antidotes. That might be it. Maybe Paralyze Heal, too.
Let me check. In Gen 1, you can get a Pokeball, an antidote, a Burn Heal, a potion, or a Paralyze Heal.
Why are they giving you a Burn Heal so early?
In Generation 3, you do not get a Burn Heal. It's only the 4. It's a Pokeball, Potion, Antidote, and Paralyze Heal. And then...
You've got a few cities before you even see a Fire-type Pokemon, so it makes sense to not have a Burn Heal there.
It's $250. It's the second most expensive thing. Maybe they're just trying to, like, seed it in. They're like, hey, this is a weird thing that might happen to you eventually. In Gen 2, it's like everything. You get revives, awakenings, flower mail, whatever that is. Hyper potion.
It's just like a piece of mail with a flower pattern. You can write a little message on and you attach it to a Pokemon and trade them.
Oh, that's
it's
cute.
A way to like send letters.
That's cute, I guess. And then there's two cashiers when you get there in HeartGold or SoulSilver. They sell all sorts of things. You don't need to know about that.
Right.
But you can also buy steel mail.
That's a steel.
It's way cooler than flowers.
It's armor for your Pokemon.
Than loser flower
this
mail.
This one's made out of steel as opposed to flowers.
Right. All right, so the other notable place then is before we get to the gym, because that's going to take up some time, guys,
right.
Is the Pokemon Academy. Josh, I had no idea what this Pokemon Academy is.
All right, it's like a little schoolhouse, right? Every region has one school.
Sure.
Sometimes it's in the first city. Sometimes it's in, like, the big city. Because it's in... Is it in Goldenrod? I think it's in Goldenrod.
Goldenrod has a radio tower in it.
No, it's not. It's in Violet City in Johto. Okay. The school is. But basically, you go in there and there's like a bunch of school kids and lasses.
Right.
They just tell you really basic stuff. It's just a real easy way for them to convey basic information from the game. And like on the blackboard is just an explanation of every different status ailment.
Oh, that's cool. And then it's different later on though, right?
In Johto region games, Gold, Silver, Crystal, HeartGold, SoulSilver, it turns into the trainer house because there's an academy in Violet City, so why do we also need one in Viridian?
Right.
That's silly.
It's not like there's people in Viridian that would never go to the one in Johto. That's
No, there's a magnet train. You can just get there.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I guess.
You can fly there too if you want. So the trainer house is a weird place. You can battle other people, other trainers there.
Like through link cable or?
Not through link cable, because in HeartGold and SoulSilver, you can communicate with other people through the PokeWalker.
Right.
And it will save up to 10 people that you've communicated with in your PokeWalker in the trainer house, and you can go in there and you can battle their team as it was
when you met
when
them.
You zapped them.
That's pretty neat.
Held items, levels, everything is the same, I think. I don't think it scales them. It might. Scale them to level 50.
That's pretty cool, though.
In Gen 2, you can do Mystery Gift, because the Game Boy Color has a tiny little IR sensor on the top.
Yeah.
And it would have the last single person that you Mystery Gifted in there.
Right.
There's also an Ace Trainer. His name is Cal, who is always in there. He's just an NPC. He has the final evolution of every Johto starter. So Meganium, Typhlosion, Feraligatr, they're all level 50. And you can just battle him. Winevs, not once a day. You can only battle them once a
right.
day in there.
Because second generation is when they introduced the clock.
Right.
And day and night cycle, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
And when you win a battle in there, you get battle points, which you can spend at the battle tower slash...
At the battle mall.
Battle frontier, battle resort, whatever. It's a lot of battle places.
Oh, the battle place. Okay, and I guess that brings us to the gym. We haven't talked about...
Let's not go to the gym, because there's people here, too.
There are people. I was just about to mention that.
There's a couple people I want to mention before we get to the gym.
Okay, I don't have the demographics on
hand.
I think there's 30. There hovers between 28 and 30, right?
It's different in every game that Viridian City is in. So in Red, Blue, and Yellow, there are 28, if you include the gym leader.
Okay, because he's
not there at the beginning.
Not there at the start.
He's still a resident.
Right.
Right. In Gold, Silver, and Crystal, there's only 25. That's because the gym loses all its, what I call junior trainers.
Yeah.
Which I like to think they're like people training as like an apprenticeship under the gym leader in the gym.
Right. This is how you become a gym leader.
Right.
You go through an internship.
So they're all gone in Gold, Silver, and Crystal. There's nobody in there but... the gym leader.
Right.
There will be spoilers later. I'm not going to spoil it now. We'll talk about that when we get to the gym.
Right.
Fire Red and Leaf Green, there are 30 people. And then in HeartGold and SoulSilver, there are 34. So the city does get bigger.
Okay.
As time passes. And I would say it's a higher population in Gold, Silver, and Crystal because you lose like 7 trainers from the gym.
Yeah.
But you only lose 3 people altogether.
So okay.
It gains more residents.
Okay,
all right.
I was wondering about that because it says you lose that. And I was like, were there only 3 people in the gym? Like, that can't be right. So that makes a lot of sense that there's more people, but just less gym leaders.
Yeah, and most of the people in the town just don't. They like tell you basic information or they say nonsense.
Right, except for one.
There's 2.
It's 2, okay.
Because you remember the pond down at the southwest corner of the city, right? There's a guy on the other side of that pond that you can't access. You need either cut or surf to get to him.
Right, which you do not have the first time you go through there.
And he can teach your Pokemon a move.
Oh. Yeah.
So in Gen 1, he will give you TM42, which is Dream Eater. And that is, you put an opponent to sleep, you use Dream Eater, and you'll deal damage and heal at the same time because you eat their dream. It's a real creepy move.
You eat their dream and gain its sustenance.
I wish there was like a chance that you would lose health because you ate a nightmare. Just like a real small chance. Because
cool.
That's a thing in one of Drowsy's Pokedex entries, is that sometimes he gets sick from eating nightmares.
That's creepy. Because
Pokemon is not messing around.
I don't know a ton about the later generations, but especially those like first two generations. I know there's some creepy ones in 5.
There's creepy ones kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pokemon gets kind of creepy, guys.
It does.
We might do a bonus episode on that later. Just like
creepy things.
Creepy stuff.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah. Creepy crawlers in Pokemon. And we're not talking about Weedles and Caterpies. Da 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 da.
Although Misty hates bugs. She spends a good few episodes just screaming at the thought of Caterpie.
I mean, they're huge, right? So like that would be gross.
They're kind of cuter when they're big.
But like if they were real, they'd be like,
right,
kind of grosser.
So anyway, this same gentleman will give you the Dream Eater TM in Gen 4, which is now TM 85, because they've bumped from 50 to 100 total now.
Right.
And then, I did not write what gen this was in. I think this is in Gen 3. So Fire Red and Leaf Green. He's just a move tutor, so he won't give you a TM, but he will teach a Pokemon Dream Eater.
Okay.
Just to like keep it consistent.
Right.
And then...
Oh, no.
There's this old man.
Josh, we can't talk about the old man. If we talk about the old man, then if we go to an island and swim along the shoreline...
We just can't go swimming after we talk to the old man. It's fine. Okay. I hate swimming. This is going to be easy.
It's going to be fine. I kind of enjoy swimming, but I haven't been in a while.
So this old man, his granddaughter is also like next to him. And he's laying on the ground when you first get there. If you try to walk by him, he just yells at you. He's like... Get off my lawn.
Does he say something about coffee?
He needs coffee. Like, he's just laying on the ground grumpy. He's like, you can't pass here because I'm a grouch.
Right.
And his granddaughter's like, he hasn't had his coffee yet. Give him a minute.
Give him a minute. he's a Facebook post.
In the Japanese game, he's passed out. I don't know if he's passed out, but he's drunk.
He's drunk.
He's just straight up drunk and belligerent.
Japan is weird about stuff.
But they can just be cool about it. Like
yeah.
It's fine that this guy is obnoxiously drunk in a kid's game in Japan.
That's weird.
It's a whole different set of rules.
A whole different set of rules. The reason he's like this is because you have to get your package from the Pokemon Center and go back to
the Pokemart. You go to the Pokemart,
right.
And the clerk is like, hey, you must have come from Pallet Town because I've never seen you before.
you look like a Pallet Town kid.
I have this parcel. It's Oak's parcel. It's the official name of the item.
Right.
He's like, can you go deliver it to him? She's like, yeah, whatever. You take it, you jump down the ledges, back down Route 1.
Super easy. We talked about it last time.
Deliver it to Oak. He's like, oh, thanks. It's a custom Pokeball that I ordered. And then we get no more explanation. So I don't know what custom Pokeball means. Is it different? Is it a Premier Ball? Is it like a prototype Premier Ball?
Is it like an Oak brand Premier Ball? Like he's got a name emblazoned on it?
That would be neat.
Because, yeah, in the first generation, there's only the 4...
Yep.
And that's it. And then, like, in the later ones, they're like, hey, here's a bunch more.
Yeah. Like, from Gold, Silver on, there's, like, just a million different kinds of Pokeballs.
And they, like, switch sometimes. That's a whole separate can of worms.
And I like it, and I don't like it at the same time. I try to catch as much stuff in regular Pokeballs as I can. I'll use Ultra Balls on, like, Legendaries and stuff. But Great Balls are just like, what's the point?
I feel like Great Balls have a worse hit rate.
I don't feel like they're that much better than Pokeballs, and they're like
way
a lot worse than Ultra Balls.
Yeah.
So I don't really use them that often. I'll use Premier Balls like on Shinies. I try to hoard them for that.
Yeah. So anyway, he's like, oh, thanks for giving me this custom Pokeball. It's probably just a regular Pokeball with his name carved in it.
Right.
He's got a label maker. So... The guy in Viridian City at the Pokemart has a label maker.
Well, he ordered it, and it got delivered to Viridian City because that's the closest
Pokemart, right? Because it's the store.
It's from Silphco.
Sure. Okay. So maybe it's a Master Ball. He is the world.
No, they tell you have the only one when they give it to you. They're like, this is the only one we've made so far.
Maybe it's a Mr. Ball.
Maybe it's like a prototype of one of Kurt's. Like Moonball or something.
Right, maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Or he's like, hey, I want a Pokeball, but instead of red, I want it to be blue on the top.
And they're like, well, that'll cost you, but we can do it.
Right. Anyway, after you give him that, he's like, oh, I have this empty encyclopedia that I invented. Can you go fill it up for me?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to get on a super tangent about the Pokedex.
This is just how you get it.
But this is where you get it. It makes the least amount of sense in Pokemon. I think this might be, for me at least, the thing that makes the least amount of sense.
Right.
Here, I made this thing that has the entries hidden in there.
Well, he says it records data on Pokemon you've seen or captured.
Does this mean he's already seen all of them? Or does the Pokedex divine it from the Aether?
I think your chubby little 10-year-old baby fat thumbs are typing in entries. That's what I think is happening. He also gives one to Blue.
Okay. Because he does talk about...
And then when Blue leaves, he's like, I'm going to get them all and you're not going to get anything. I'm going to catch every Pokemon and you're going to be a loser.
You're stupid little squirrel. You're going to die in the woods.
You love to hate that guy. So anyway, after you get the Pokedex and you hike back up Route 1...
Fight a bunch more Pokemon, stop at the Pokemon Center.
You're probably like level 8 or 9 by now.
Right.
You can also get Pokeballs from one of his assistants now.
Yeah, he gives you like 6, right?
He's like, here's 5 Pokeballs. 5 Pokeballs
to fill up your party if you catch some Pokemon.
So you probably caught 1 or 2.
You probably caught a Pidgey.
There's only 2 available really right now.
Right.
So you probably have a Pidgey and a Rattata, so good for you.
Yep, I love Pidgey. It's one of my favorite Pokemon. Everyone's like, it's just a dumb Pidgey. And I'm like, yeah, it's just a Pidgey though. Like, it's great.
Pidgeot is a pretty good bird Pokemon, but I have another favorite, which we'll talk about in the Q&A section later.
Yeah, but then, like, I don't know. I like how Pidgey's real fat. I like he's like, I'm a fat little bird Pokemon, but you can fly on me if you want.
Grab my talons, and it will bring you around the world.
And it flaps and swings like 100 miles an hour. So you go back up, and you talk to, okay, oh, God, I'm worried that it's a curse. I'm worried right, that it I'm will, gonna, it has transmedia properties.
Are we even going to talk about the glitch?
Okay.
We won't talk about the glitch now. Right now, we're just going to talk about this nice old man who has had his coffee, now that you've delivered your package. Because he's just the barrier. He's like, you can't go. You have something you need to do.
Right.
And his granddaughter's like, oh, he's finally not drunk. He had some black coffee, and now he feels great.
Right. So they move out of your way.
If you talk to him now, he's the guy who teaches you how to catch a Pokemon.
Yeah. Which you probably already have by now. Because, like, you're an industrious little kid.
They have to put, like, a tutorial in there somewhere. And he catches a Weedle. And he's like, you should probably weaken it. I know I just threw a Pokeball at it, but it's just a stupid Weedle.
I just whipped this Pokeball at that Weedle.
Then he ran up there and he held it close. That's the trick.
That's the trick. First, you bean it with the Pokeball.
And then
you duct tape it shut so it can't break out. And you own that Pokemon now.
Yep. That's the trick. Got that Silph-Co brand duct tape.
I will say this. We won't talk about the glitch. No easier way to say it. We won't talk about the glitch around the old man. We will say that Pokemon is a game... held together by duct tape.
Held together by Silph-Co brand duct tape.
And this guy leaves that duct tape out in the sun. He doesn't tear the duct tape off.
No.
That's a separate thing later.
It's barely sticky anymore.
Yeah, but like once you talk to this guy, your duct tape is in disrepair.
It's like flopped off.
There's almost no coming back.
You're 2 steps away from just removing it and throwing it in the trash.
And that's later. Right now it's fine.
Right.
But later it will not. Because of the weird under the hidden secret math that controls the Pokemon universe. But he teaches you how to catch Pokemon, which is a necessary thing, though I'm pretty confident that by now you have caught a Pokemon.
At least a Pidgey or Rattata or both. He'll also, in Fire Red and Leaf Green, he gives you a key item called a Teachy TV.
Okay.
Which just teaches you like a bunch of other stuff under the guise of like short little instructional videos.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
It's real cute. I can't remember any of the lessons.
I never played Fire Leaf or Fire Leaf.
I never watched the Teachy TV. I put it at the bottom of my key items pocket and just left it there.
Let it just die in the
But as
on
far
the vine.
As we know right now, that's all for this old
that's
man.
That's it.
So before we go to the gym, let's head west and go to Route 22 for a second.
Okay.
Because there's like... not a lot here right now. The gate to the Pokemon League is at the end of this. It's a tiny little route.
Okay.
It's like a sideways S, like, path through it.
Okay.
Like, up and down and then up. There is an optional battle with Blue over here.
This early?
Yeah. Where he has his starter and, like, and I think just a Pidgey.
Not a Rattata?
level 7. It might be a Rattata. It's one of the two. He only has two Pokemon.
Okay.
And it's like level 7.
Sure.
So if you've caught a couple Pokemon and have fought some battles, you're
right.
Well enough off to beat him. And in Red and Blue, it's just an optional battle. But in Yellow, he started with an Eevee.
Uh-huh.
And you can use this battle and the first battle to determine what he evolves it into. So if you beat him both times, he'll evolve into Jolteon. Because you have a Pikachu.
Right.
So he'll be like, I've got to resist you a little bit. So now I'm an electric type too.
Okay.
If you lose to him both times, he'll evolve into a Vaporeon. Because he's like, I can beat you no problem. I'm going to get a water type.
And if you do one or the other, he'll do Flareon?
And if you lose one, win one, he'll do Flareon.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really neat.
That's really all we can do here right now. There's some Pokemon available over here. So let me just run through those real quick.
Okay.
All right, so Pokemon that have ever been available on Route 22 in the grass.
Okay, this is across all games.
This is across every game. I have it kind of like broken up, but I'm not really going to differentiate.
Sure.
So in the grass, you can get Rattata, Spearow, both Nidorans, male and female.
Okay.
A Mankey, and Ponyta, Doduo, Fearow, and Poliwag. And if you fish, you can get Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Poliwhirl, Gyarados, or Slowpoke, depending on the rod you use. Surfing, you can get Poliwag, Poliwhirl, Psyduck, and Slowpoke. Then you can headbutt the trees, and you can get all the regular stuff. I think it's the same list as last time.
Right.
Hoot Hoots are in every single tree in the world. You can get a Hoot Hoot.
And you're just tossing all Pokemon head at it.
All you gotta do is shake a tree a little bit. If you play the Hoenn sound on the Pokégear, you can get a Linoon or a Whismur. And if you play the Sinnoh sound, you can get Bidoof or Buizel.
Oh, so like the loser Pokemon. You get a bunch of losers if you play this.
Buizel's pretty cool.
What's Buizel?
He's a little water weasel. He's got like two tails and like a floaty on his neck.
Oh, my little brother really likes him. He's a loser. It's a loser Pokemon. Right. My little brother's not
right,
a loser.
Pidgey. All right. Who is not on this route.
Yeah, well, he has the good sense not to hang out with all those losers.
But that's all that's over here. There's the Pokemon League gate, which we will cover at the end of the Kanto run.
Yeah,
because we can't do anything in there right now.
Right.
Then all that's really left in Viridian City is the gym.
The gym, which you do not get to your first pass through, and this is
because the gym leader is just straight up not there, and the door's locked.
Yeah. So this is where the kayfabe, the canon, I don't know how else to say it other than kayfabe, that works the best. The story of Pokemon and the story of Pokemon World Tour kind of diverge because we're taking you through it as you would get it in the game, but we're not coming back.
But we're not going to cover Viridian City again.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about the gym.
So we have to talk about the end of it now.
Wait.
Now there are spoilers for probably a good while.
Wonderful.
Right before we walk into the gym, there's a sign outside. There's one of every gym. That just says what the gym is, who the leader is, and then like a little description of the leader.
Okay.
We don't get that here. It says Viridian City Gym, and then the rest of it is like all scratched up and smudged or whatever. You can't read it. So after you get all 7 of the other gyms, you can go into the Viridian Gym.
Which, can I just say that I love this? I love that the first gym you come across, you can't go to.
You can't go to. And it's like on a ledge, too.
Yeah. It's the last gym of the game.
In Red and Blue, when you interact with the door, it's like it's locked, and then it automatically pushes you down the ledge.
That's
Red's like, I can't get in. Whoop, oopsie. Gotta go.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's like a weird level of storytelling. Pokemon's not a game known for storytelling, right?
Right.
It's there, but like you have to work for it. And this is one of those things where it's like, right away, you're like, what is a gym? What do I do there?
Yeah, and there's like no hint. I think someone might mention that he's never there.
Yeah, but that's it. They don't tell you what you do in a gym. It's just not, you can't go to this one. You got to go to Pewter if you want one. You come back with 7 badges and you can go into this gym.
Yeah. In Red, Blue, and Yellow, and Fire Red and Leaf Green, the layout is the same. The graphics are just updated.
Right.
And it's like a simple, I want to say it's a simple tile puzzle, like one of those not warp tiles, but spin tiles that just send you spinning in a direction.
Yeah, and like you can dodge a couple, but like you end up hitting most of them, most of the trainers in here.
And it's not that difficult of a puzzle. Like if you get on the wrong one, it'll send you back to the beginning, but then you just know not to get on that one again.
Right.
And you'll go through and you'll get to the gym leader, who we won't talk about quite yet. There are 7 junior trainers in here. I think I mentioned that before.
Yeah.
In Gen 1, they range from level 39 to 43. They each have 3 Pokemon.
So this is a pretty tough gym then.
Yeah. I should also mention that this is the ground type gym. I don't think I said that yet.
No, you did not.
We don't have a format for talking about gyms, so bear with me.
Right.
So every trainer in here uses ground type or specializes in ground type Pokemon, yeah. Including the gym leader. In Gen 2, and this is where the spoilers start to get heavy. I'm saving talking on the gym leader because he's going to get like a feature in a minute.
Right.
But we're going to talk about him in depth. But he gets taken over by Blue in Generation 2. There are no junior trainers. There are no puzzles. It's just an empty room and Blue standing in the middle of it. He's like, I guess I'll fight you now.
Is that sad?
A little bit.
I feel like it's a little sad.
It definitely feels sad because like, he was just a champion.
And now he's the head of this empty gym.
He got bumped down to the 8th gym, which is like the hardest gym.
Yeah.
But still, like,
then this little kid comes in and beats.
He has no heart. He put no heart into it. It's just an empty room that he's just standing
right.
in. He loses to another up-and-comer.
Right. I like to think that...
Well, I shouldn't call Gold an up-and-comer at this point. He's a Pokemon League champion by the time he challenges Blue.
Yeah, and he's also, like, the greatest Pokemon trainer of all time, basically, so...
He's the only one that has more than 8 badges that I've ever met.
Yeah, so. And I like to think that after Gold trounces him, that he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to be better. I'm going to try to be better. My childhood friend disappeared, has never been seen again. He's probably a ghost on a mountain somewhere.
Right, like I gave him crap all the time, but he was actually my best friend.
Yeah.
He knew that.
Right, yeah. It was a rivalry, but like he's the only person I talked to.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. And I haven't seen him in a while. I was like, I'm going to try to be better. Maybe I'll try to teach the next generation. That's where I hope it goes.
Yeah. In the anime, he ends up giving up battling and becomes a researcher.
Okay.
Which I like. I like that character development for him.
Right.
Well, he's just like a snooty, like real jerky trainer. And he's like, no, I'm going to be a scientist
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a pretty good reason he gives up battling. And we'll talk about that again when we get to Lavender Town. We're really building the Lavender Town episode, you guys. Yeah.
All right. So we're still in Gen 2 because it's still Blue in Gen 4, but the gym is very different. So his team in Gen 2 is a Pidgeot, Alakazam, Rhydon, Gyarados, Exeggutor, and Arcanine. Pretty sure this is the same team from his champion battle.
Minus the starter,
and just with whatever type Pokemon he would have to fill that hole.
Right. So he's not the ground type leader.
He's an every type.
Yeah.
He's just a gym leader.
Right.
He runs this gym. You beat him. You still get the Earth badge.
Well, we get all the Pokemon of the Earth.
Right. It's all encompassing.
And all Pokemon.
So fast all the way forward to Gen 4, because Gen 3 and Gen 1 are the same. It's just like a graphical overhaul.
Right.
Gen 4, Blue puts a little more heart into it.
Yeah.
Because he's got this real complicated tile puzzle. I don't know if you looked at a picture of Blue's gym from Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
No, I haven't. I'm going to look it up.
It's this crazy mess of colors and arrows. There's definitely a way through it, because that's how you get to Blue, but it's just a jumbly mess.
Hold on. I'm looking it up.
Right?
Oh, it's just like arrows. Okay, so there's 4 different colors. There's orange, light blue, blue, and red.
Each of them signifies a direction.
So red is up, blue is left, orange is down, light blue is right. And this looks nasty.
Yeah.
How do you even start?
You just walk on to one of them somewhere?
I'm looking at it. It looks like the only ones are left and... Okay, no, sorry. It looks like they're empty tiles. There's blank space in between.
Okay.
So you can land, you can walk up to those. Orange is the easiest one to get to. So like that kind of teaches you right away that it will kick you backwards
yeah.
if you hit those. You do not want to go there. Especially because it looks like the puzzles are kind of developed in such a way that it... If you mess up once, it sends you all the way back.
All the way back, you have to try again. Yeah. There are also some junior trainers in here now, though. They each have 2 Pokemon, but they're now leveled 50 to 53, because this is, like, way post-game.
Right. So, well, isn't it? Can't you do this one first off? No, because you don't land in Palutena.
You can do any of them in any order, because you have all the HMs. So you can freely traverse Kanto as soon
right.
as you get there, but you land in Vermilion.
Will the battle scale?
No.
No. So you land in Vermilion, you kind of do a weird...
I have a weird thing about gym battles. I have a way that I think gym battles should be.
That will be a bonus episode.
But yeah, we won't talk about
that now. I've heard you talk a little bit about it. And it's... involved.
It's a little involved. It's not too bad.
No. My friend Mike, who I talked about a little bit last time, there's a podcast called Nerdy Show. He was a part of it. And on the forums, they talked about doing a Pokemon League, like a Nerdy Show Pokemon League. And he laid out the most complicated, but like made the most sense.
Right.
I will see if I can dig up that forum post.
I have an idea for like a league, but it would just be WMAC Masters rules.
The best rules.
Right.
The best tournament rules there's ever been.
Win 10, challenge a champion.
Yeah. Boom.
Boom. Except it would be 8.
Win 8, challenge a champion. And you are. All right. Yeah.
I'm going to save it. We'll do a bonus episode.
I will try to find that and give you the link so you can put it on this episode and also so you can look at it. But like, it was awesome, but very involved.
Very involved.
Yeah.
Such is the plight of a Pokemon trainer, yep. I guess.
So it happens when your whole game is based on secret math.
you breed a bunch of secret mathematicians.
Yeah, like they don't even know, but they are. Like,
it's yeah.
bananas. I just can't understand it.
During the Q&A segment, I will pose some questions and we'll see if we can get some crowd participation rolling.
All right, cool. Yeah. So so who are these junior Jimmies?
I think they also have ground types, but Blue still is like, nope, not gonna just conform to a single type.
Right. I don't want to get into like, oh, what is this? What does each trainer have? But there, it's like Rhydons and
right. Yeah. I didn't write down. I just wrote the levels down.
Right.
They range from 50 to 53 over four trainers.
So ground Pokemon, Gen 4, there's a lot more obviously, but like Gen 1, there's not a ton.
You got a lot of Rhyhorns and Rhydons and Gravelers, maybe a Golem.
A Golem here or there, yeah. Like that's it.
Not Onix, I think that's it.
Yeah.
He has Exeggutor, Rhydon, Machamp, Gyarados, Arcanine, and Pidgeot. So I think he just replaced Alakazam with Machamp.
Okay, that's a weird replacement. That's the opposite, I would say.
Maybe he was fighting too many bugs, so he's like, Psychic type's not working, gotta swap him out for another trade evolution, but this time a fighting one.
I guess. You beat him, you get the Earth Badge. That happens in Gen 2 and 4.
As well, and that changes depending on what game you're playing.
Right, it's either Fissure or Earthquake, right? Those are the only two?
Blue will give you Trick Room in Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
No idea what that does.
It flips speed, so like the slower Pokemon in the battle will move first.
Okay.
And it lasts for 5 turns.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And if you use it again, it undoes itself.
Oh. That makes a crazy kind of sense.
Yeah, it's real weird.
So let's get down to brass tacks here. Let's talk about the
Viridian Gym Leader.
The Viridian Gym Leader.
Because Blue takes over, but he's not the Viridian City Gym Leader. He's a former Pokemon League champion. But the Viridian City Gym Leader is a man named Giovanni.
Oh.
Which I used to pronounce when I was a wee little baby.
Oh,
as
boy.
Giovanni.
That's okay. All right.
It looks like it could sound that way.
I mean, yeah, I could see it.
I know better now. It's not one that stuck, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
He runs a little group of people. I don't know if you guys have heard of them. They're called Team Rocket. They might come up later. I'm not sure.
I bought some sweet, sweet, tasty, tasty Slowpoke tails from a Team Rocket. They seem like some stand-up young men and women.
Let's talk about Team Rocket for a minute. All right, I don't want to get too in-depth, because we don't meet Team Rocket until Mount Moon.
Right.
But they're the first Pokemon bad guys.
Yeah.
And their goal is not to take over the world. It's not to distort space and time or make it rain
forever or make all the water go away or destroy the planet with a laser. I'm a little fuzzy on how X and Y ends.
I think that's about it. That's the laser that made Deoxys, too.
That's cool, though.
Pokemon figuring itself out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, love it.
It's the best. They just want money.
They just want more money and rare Pokemon.
Yeah.
They want rare Pokemon so they can sell them for more money.
Yeah, which is great. That's killer. That's pretty killer.
He has a little bit of deep backstory.
Let's parse that out.
Does that make any sense? Anyway, you don't learn that until Heart Gold and Soul Silver. There's like a lot of fan speculation and a lot of assumptions of
right,
like his backstory. But there is an event in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. If you get one of the event Celebes, you can like go back in time.
Right.
At the Tojo Falls? At the Tojo Falls. Because after you defeat him, and we'll talk about his Pokemon and stuff a little bit later. After you defeat him, he just like leaves. He goes into, not into exile, but he goes into hiding.
He goes into hiding. He basically disassembles Team Rocket because a 10-year-old beat him.
Right.
But not, it's not that you just beat him. It's that you beat everybody in Team Rocket first and then beat him. Right. You did the hardest way you could have. And yep. He's like, I can't deal with this. And then leaves.
So a good chunk of the story of Gold, Silver, and Crystal is Team Rocket trying to get him back via radio signals.
Yeah.
And this special story is like, because in Gold and Silver and Crystal, you never know if he heard them or not. You just know he doesn't come back.
Yeah.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, we find out that Gold actually travels back in time because Giovanni did hear the signals and was going to come back. But Gold goes back in time and beats him before he can.
Oh, so
he's like, another one.
Yeah.
This one might be 11. But right. Like, come on, man.
This one looks a little haggard. He's probably 11 by now.
And we also find out that your rival in the Johto games, Silver, is the son of Giovanni, which explains his character very well.
Yeah.
Because he gets his starter by stealing it. He hates Team Rocket, probably for taking his dad away.
Right.
Like,
yeah, he's just like super angry about everything. And like, you're the only person he'll like talk to.
And by the end of at least Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I think he might come around to Gold and Silver too, but like he's definitely friendly towards you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think in kayfabe he never beats you. So.
No, yeah. And he sees how you train Pokemon, and he's like, because he was raised a certain way. He was raised like Pokemon are tools, Pokemon are to be sold. And you're like, no, I love them. They're my buddies.
Right. I don't want to talk about Silver too much because we're going to go through his story as we go through Johto.
Right, we'll get back to it. But yeah,
But it's a big reveal that Giovanni is his father. It's pretty cool that, you know, Pokemon will just go back and tell these stories years after we have tried to figure them out.
Right, yeah. It's neat. And like, going back in time is bananas.
Yeah, so at the same time that you're stopping Team Rocket, you are also stopping Giovanni from going back to them. Because time travel, man. Just don't think about it too hard.
Oh, it's great.
All right, let's get to his gym battle. Okay. He has, I wrote down all of his Pokemon, because he's got a few battles in the games. We'll only talk about his gym Pokemon now. We'll talk about his other ones when we get to them.
Okay, sounds good.
In the gym, he has two different teams. There's one for Red, Blue, Fire Red, and Leaf Green, and he has a little change up in Yellow.
Okay, because you have a change in...
Nope, not because of that. Because Yellow follows the anime more.
Okay.
In the anime, he has a Persian, but in the games, originally, he did not.
Okay.
So his original team is Rhyhorn, Dugtrio, Nidoqueen, Nidoking, and Rhydon. So he only has 5 Pokemon, and they are ranged from 42 to 50. But in Pokemon Yellow, he replaces the Rhyhorn with a Persian, and he bumps his levels up to 50 to 55.
Okay, I like that because it follows the anime more, they're like, we'll give you your signature Pokemon that has nothing to do with the type. I like that. Because I like it when gyms feel personal.
Yeah.
Which is, like, they do really well a lot of the time, but, like, I later on, like for me at least, especially, like, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, they really nail it. Like, it just feels like that person is all about that gym. And so I like that in Yellow, they're like, here's your cat. Here's your kitty cat.
Yeah.
You know?
Your favorite Pokemon, Persian, is on your team, obviously.
Right, obviously.
Just like my favorite Pokemon, Cyndaquil, his final evolution is on my team.
Yeah.
Again, that's for the Q&A. So that's really it. You beat him. He gives you the Earth Badge. The Earth Badge is the 8th badge. It'll allow any Pokemon of any level, whether you traded for it or not, to obey you in battle.
Yeah.
Before that, the next highest one under that is level 70. We'll talk about that one when we get there. I'm not going to spoil that, even though I'm spoiling everything else. And that's it. He says he's going to disband Team Rocket.
And for the most part,
he
does.
In Fire Red and Leaf Green, I think he says, I'll be back in power one day, but we'll lay low for now. But in Red and Blue, he's like, no, I'm done with this mobster stuff.
That's pretty cool. And then also, you beat him, right? So you got your 8 badges now. And remember from the very start of the game when you went down Route 22 and you couldn't leave?
Right.
It's right there.
You just go over and it's right. It's like a perfect circle.
Yeah. I think
figuratively and literally,
I think
the world makes a perfect circle.
I think Pokemon kind of had a good idea of what they were doing.
There's a lot of charm and character in those first few games. Like,
yeah.
It's still there now, but everything's like I don't want to say everything's more polished, so it doesn't have as much charm.
Right.
But there's like just a weird level of
detail. I mean, that's just detail. A that's just a function of like older games versus newer games. It's like back then, right. It's like
they didn't know. Yeah,
you know?
They so told like, this crazy story and they hid all this meaning and stuff in this game with very limited resources. Yeah. And like it was just hard for them to tell. But they did it.
Yeah. And now there's like a lot more room. You can just basically tell them how to feel. Back then, a lot of it was just like, hey, I hope you feel this way because this is what we meant. But if not, whatever. It's like your game. It's your game as much as it's ours because everyone's playing it. So like,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Okay. So we're done. We are done with Viridian Sea. We're going to leave it in our dust.
That's the end of the spoilers, by the way.
Welcome back.
All right. So we can't go to the gym yet. So we're going to go north. We already went west, and that was a dead end for right
dead
now.
Dead end. Don't have
fought
enough badges.
Blue, beat him up, took his money.
What if you don't go there? What does he pick?
If you skip it, it's the same as beating him, I think.
Okay. So however...
Yeah, so however you did in the first one, if you beat him in the first one and skip it, I think he gets Jolteon. If you lose in the first one and skip it, I think he gets Flareon.
Okay.
So the only way to get Vaporeon is to actively lose to him two times.
Oh, that's worth it. All right, so we're getting on to Route 2 now.
Yeah, we're going north through Route 2. It's very short from what we can access of it now. Again, it's a really weird map split down the middle. And you cannot get to the eastern side until after you go through Vermilion City. So we won't talk about the east path right now.
Okay.
In the west, there's like a little patch of grass, and like a ledge, and just a path that leads right up into Viridian Forest. So before we go into the forest, let's talk about the Pokemon.
I got all these Pokeballs. I got an old man.
You can buy them now too.
Also, yeah, you can buy them. You got infinite Pokeballs as long as you got the money.
Right.
I got this old man taught me how to catch Pokemans. What can I catch on Route 2? On this half of Route 2.
You can catch a Caterpie or a Weedle, depending on your version.
Okay. Let me see if I can remember. Caterpie is blue?
Yes.
Okay. I had red version, and I definitely had a Beedrill, so...
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. You can get more Pidgeys and Rattatas.
Beedrill, by the way, really sucks.
He's got a Mega Evolution now, which is apparently pretty good.
That's cool.
I haven't used it yet.
Because Beedrill...
Beedrill is not a good Pokemon by himself.
And I love bees, and it's not a good Pokemon.
You can get more Pidgeys and Rattatas, or you can get one of the Nidorans, if you want. They're
here.
Does
that depend on version?
Yes.
Okay.
I think one is just more rare, depending on the version. I think you can still get both.
Okay. That's a weird quirk of the pre-gender games.
Yeah.
That they're different Pokemon that they should just fix.
Yeah, I like them being separate because they're definitely distinct from each other.
But they at the same time, they look like just the male or female version. Like, you can...
They look pretty different. Like, they've started adding gender differences to other Pokemon now.
They're all pretty minor, but you can just explain that away. It's like, oh, the Nidorans have bigger differences. I just kind of wish to keep in line with the stuff they
have
added.
A lot of ideas for a rebooted Pokedex, and they are the same entry in that. So.
Okay, all right. So anyway, you can get one of those. Moving on, what else can you get?
If you come back after Johto has been discovered.
Sure.
Shrug. There's a Hoot Hoots. Just in the grass. These are not headbutting.
Not in the trees. They're also in the trees, I bet.
They are, yep. Sure are. Spinarax or Ledibas, depending on your version. Metapods or Kakunas, depending on your version. Butterfree Beedrill, version dependent. Noctowl, Pidgeotto, Pikachu, and Ariados and Ledian, depending on your version.
Those are...
The evolved forms of Spinarax.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. You can headbutt and get, you know, regular stuff. Pinecos in there. The Hoenn Sound will give you, I'm going to say these wrong again, Plusle and Minun.
Minun.
No, it's Minun. That's definitely
Minun. Pretty sure it's Minun. I caught one. I caught one the other day. I
did you?
I named it Minnie. It was a girl.
If you play the Sinnoh Sound, you get Shinx, so it's the same as Route 1 as far as that's concerned. And then you just go into the forest in the future. In like the Johto games, there's some bug catchers down on Route 2, but in the first gen, there's nothing. There's no trainers there.
In the forest, there's no trainers?
In the forest, there are, but on Route 2, there are not.
Oh, all right. But can we go back for a second?
Yep.
In Gen 1, you can catch a Nidoran on Route 2?
I don't know. I think so. I think I have it written in that same group.
Man, I probably missed out, because that'd be a cool
They're
Pokemon to
rare.
Get right away.
I remember catching a Nidoran on Route 22 before I left.
Okay.
And that's when I discovered my first favorite Pokemon.
Right. Because so. They're cool looking little
Yeah, Nidoking is just so bad. He's so bad, yeah. Like a power glove.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that brings us to the forest.
Yeah.
Now, before we go into the forest, later in the series, the bigger extra locations like this, we're going to do their own bonus episodes. So instead of having an off week, we're going to have a shorter episode that's just got, like, that location, whatever, the story stuff.
Our first one will be Mount Moon.
Yeah. And then we'll do, like, a spotlight Pokemon because there's one that kind of pertains a lot to the area, like, whichever right. pertains to most of the area. But Viridian Forest is not super important, and there's really nothing spectacular in there.
No, it's just it's
you can get a Pikachu in there in blue, right?
You can't. They're super rare.
Yeah,
but you can catch a Pikachu in there in red and blue.
Yeah, not in red and blue. I thought it was just blue.
No, he's in both. He's just like it's like a 1% super rare rate. It's just that's a real weird place to just have Pikachu.
That's why it's so rare.
I really like that. There's like, hey, here's an electric type, which you're not going to encounter for a while unless you catch this super rare mouse in the forest.
But like, can you imagine like running through for the very first time and being like, I caught this Pikachu, and then like your friends are like, you got a what?
Right?
Ah!
Like it's your first encounter because it's just random number generator. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
So it's different for everybody.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
That would be nuts. So what's in this forest? Let's take a step into the dark forest. What's in here?
All right. Well, let's talk about the forest itself for a minute. Because it's covered in, like, dense tree coverage that's so dense that, like, light doesn't come through.
Right.
So it's a dark, gloomy kind of place.
Yeah, so there's a lot more encounters in here. Like, everywhere is tall grass,
yeah, and they kind of use that to explain why there's so many bugs. It's because there's not a lot of light. It's, like, damp or whatever.
Yeah,
A lot of people refer to it as a natural maze because of the winding path through the trees. It's not a maze, though. It's still just a straight shot to the end.
Wait, if you just walk forward?
No, but if you follow the path, you're not going to get turned around. It only goes one way.
Oh, okay. I've gotten lost in there several times.
I guess maybe a little bit inside the entrance and to the right, there's like a little bit where you can get turned around. But once you get into the zigzag of the path, it just leads you straight out.
I am awful at figuring out where I am in the world, and that applies to video games as well. So like, it's probably a lot easier than I made it out to be when I was a kid.
And then just like to really drive home the fact of people getting lost and just mixed up in here, there's a lot of items on the ground.
Yeah, which is really cool. Cause
both hidden and not hidden. There's like a ton of items in here.
Yeah, and this is one of the places where hidden items makes a lot of sense because they're under like cover. Like,
right, and people have just dropped them.
So long ago, who knows?
Yeah, they just got covered in dirt.
Yeah, I really like that because it's just like, you know, you're wandering through, you drop a Pokeball, you're worried about finding your way out. You're not going to go look for your potion
bag.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of potions. There's some antidotes. There's Pokeballs. There's a lot of stuff. I didn't write down the list of items because I love talking about Pokemon, but I don't want to do it for 3 hours.
Yeah, nobody's super into what exact items you can find in here.
All right, so Pokemon available are basically the same stuff I said from Route 2. Caterpie, Weedle, Metapod, and Kakuna. Those are the ones you're going to run into the most.
Yeah.
Pidgey will pop up. Pidgeotto occasionally will pop up. The only time you can get a Pidgeotto lower level than Pidgey evolves, I think they're like level 9.
Weird.
Yeah. Pikachu, of course. And Butterfree and Beedrill will show up in the later games with Hoot Hoot and Noctowl also popping up.
Okay.
You can headbutt for Seedot and Shroomish, which I think are new headbutt Pokemon.
They are, finally.
Occasionally, a Kricketot swarm will break out.
Kricketot, those turn into Brigadoons.
Cricketoons, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're called Brigadoons, Josh.
That's what you call them. That's the wrong name. Minin.
And Plusles.
And Plusles. I said Plusle this time,
you
so
did.
I'm getting better.
Progress.
The Hoenn sound will draw out Numels or Spoinks, and the Sinnoh sound will draw out Badoo and Carnivine. Carnivine is a very weird choice, but I understand.
Carnivine, that's the Venus Flytrap Pokemon, right?
In other games, it's naturally a wild Pokemon in deserts, so to throw it in the forest...
That is weird.
In that sense, doesn't make sense, but it's a Venus Flytrap, so it does make sense to be in like a jungle wooded area.
Right.
And there's just a whole bunch of bug catchers in here. There's 3 to 5 bug catchers, depending on what game you're playing.
Just bug boys as far as the eye can see.
They're all like low level.
If you have Charmander, you're crushing their guts right now. You are just...
Congratulations. This is the only part you're crushing for a while.
Yeah. You're going to feel really proud of yourself till you get to Pewter City.
All right. So I think that's it. That's all the notes that I have for our location this
episode. So as soon as you step through Viridian Forest, you're in Pewter City, right?
You come out of Viridian Forest on the northern half of Route 2. Route 2 is a long route.
Split up by a forest?
Split up by Viridian Forest.
Okay, and then at the end
there's a little patch of grass has the same Pokemon in it.
Right.
And then you go north and you walk right into Pewter City. There's no gate or anything, you just walk right in.
Okay.
And we will cover Pewter City next time. But right now, I think we're going to rate some names.
Sounds good. Okay, this time I picked the names.
Because you can limit yourself.
Yep, I almost didn't, but I was like, no, I said I was gonna, and I did. So
I'm glad you did, because I didn't. I was expecting you to.
I only picked five, again, because...
Good.
Gonna limit ourselves. So here's my first one.
Oh, is this from the same post on
same
Reddit?
Same post. Okay. I just realized I didn't write down any of the Redditors' names. But you can go on to that post and look them up. Do a quick control F and find out who they are. I'm sorry. Totally forgot. So here's the first one. Fox the Ho-Oh. Because Dumbledore's pet phoenix in the Harry Potter series is named Fox. F-A-W-K-E-S.
Okay, without that explanation, I wouldn't have got the reference and I would have hated it. With that explanation, I like it pretty fair amount. I'm not a super Harry Potter mark.
A mark is someone who is super into something, in case you're not familiar with pro wrestling lingo.
I apologize. His name is Fox?
Yep, F-A-W-K-E-S.
Okay, I like that even more. I'm going to give it a great ball.
I'm going to give it an ultra ball, because I do like Harry Potter. I am a Harry Potter mark.
I don't not like Harry Potter.
And it's a phoenix. Ho is a phoenix, so I like the I like that. So I'm going to give it an ultra ball.
Ho-Oh is a phoenix, but he's not what I think of when I think of a phoenix.
No, he's definitely not. I usually just get Lugia because I like Lugia better. So.
I mean, it depends on what version you're playing.
Well, I always play the Lugia version. I had Silver and then I had Soul Silver. So.
Right.
Next up is Gemini the Sableye.
Any explanation with it?
Yep.
Okay.
In parentheses, Gem in I.
Oh, I was like, he's not... There's no twos with Sableye. I don't get it. Gem in eye is great. That is an ultra ball.
I'm going to also give it an ultra ball.
That's a really good one.
It's
clever. It's got layers.
Yeah.
It's
I did not write down again. I'm sorry. I apologize. This same person had another good one later that I almost traded out for, but I was like, I don't want to do two people.
Two of the same
to
person.
To the same person. So maybe next time I will grab that. All right, here's, and I tried to get a good variety, but there were some good ones on there. So, like, you know, it's kind of hard to, but here's the one that's a little different. Ignis the Arcanine.
Ignis. Feel like I don't get it.
Ignis is an offshoot of the Latinate for fire, like ignite.
Right. And it's just like a name.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a premier ball.
Yeah.
Because there's a little.
If it was Ignatius,
because that's more of a name.
I would bump that way up. But Ignis, I don't not like it. But I mean, it's not grabbing me. I'm also gonna give it a premier ball.
This person's all of their they had a bunch of them, and they were all like, I don't want to say like basic, but they were like, you know, less more penetrable names that you can kind of figure out a lot more easier for like a lot of different Pokemon. He or she said that they've been naming their Pokemon the whole time. So like these are just like culled from the whole thing. So we don't know how old it was. I do kind of like it because it's like it's fire, ignite. It's an Arcanine.
Right. I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It's pretty neat. You know, I think I'll bump it up to a Great Ball, just because like
the I'm gonna keep it a Premier Ball.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I don't like it.
Yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I'm kind of into it. But yeah, so there's that. The next one, this was something else, but I changed it the last minute because I saw it. It's at the very end. Jack the Samurott.
Ultra Ball.
I'm going to give this a Master Ball. This is Samurott Jack.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
It would be a Master Ball if I was more familiar with Samurott Jack,
it's
I bet.
It's one sadly, of the greatest cartoons of all time. All the seasons are right on that shelf. You should maybe think about checking them out sometime. And then finally, Lil Nasty the Mega Swampert.
Lil Nasty?
Lil Nasty.
Lil Nasty, the mega. Have you seen a mega Swampert?
I have not.
This dude is buff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an ironic Lil Nasty. I'll give that an Ultra Ball, too.
Okay, I love the name Lil Nasty. I kind of want to give it a Master Ball, just like the last one.
Let's do a rule.
Okay.
All right, you can.
One Master Ball.
One Master. You only get one Master Ball.
All right, I'm bumping. Sorry, Jack. I'm going to have to bump Jack down to Ultra, and I'm giving this the Master Ball, just because I am so enamored with Lil Nasty. Like, how great of a name is that?
Go get him, Lil Nasty.
It's your boy, Lil Nasty.
I can't remember what I named my Swampert this time. I've definitely have had a Swampert named Booger before. Because it's a ground water type, so it's like dirty and gross.
Right, it's a booger.
Like booger. I don't know what I named him this time. I can't remember.
I also don't know.
It wasn't Booger.
Okay. Was it? No. I have no idea. I don't even have an inkling.
Whoa. Oh, it was Skippa.
Skippa.
That's a Pokeball nickname if I've ever heard one.
They're not all winners.
No.
They can't all be Gregory the Geodude.
I did name my Poochyena who evolved into Mightyena. His name is Brutus. That's one of my favorite ones.
I got a girl. I named her Ronnie, short for Veronica, because Veronica Mars had a dog named Backup. If it would have been a boy, I would have named it Backup. So that's it. That's it for the Pokemon Name Raider segment.
All right. That was fun. We want more nicknames. We have stopped getting comments on the Reddit post, and I'm scared To post another one for
fear of the ban hammer coming
down. There's
no
way to just like bump a topic back up to the top. So we'll just link it again in the description. If you have any nicknames, just go to that post. Let us know. If you're not on Reddit, you can tweet them at us. You can email them at us. We'll give you that information at the end.
Yeah. Those are the easiest ways to do it. Send them on Facebook also, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We have a Facebook. I'm most active with this podcast on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring out Tumblr. I'm trying. Bear with me.
Right.
I had to Google how to make a hyperlink because highlighting it and then clicking the link didn't occur to me. I just realized there was no link button when I went to a new line. And I was like, what is this?
So send us yours. And again, as much or as little information as you want to put in. But two things, you have to have the name and the type of Pokemon that it is.
Yes, name and species. We require those.
Yes. If you don't have those, you're going to get a cool buddy, but that's it. So
you won't even get on the show.
So I kind of want to do like a, what's your favorite Pokemon that you've nicknamed?
Okay.
Or pick a Pokemon that you've nicknamed and I'll pick one that
I've
nicknamed.
Do you want to save that for when we're hurting for Q&A? Or do you want to rate each other's nicknames?
Yeah, we'll rate each other's.
Okay.
We will judge each other face to face like Arceus intended. That's Pokemon God, right?
All right, who's going to go first?
I'm going to go first.
All right, what's your nickname? What's your species? What's your nickname?
I have a super easy win that I'm going to save because I want to do this every time because we have a lot of Pokemon betwixt the two of us. I'm going to do Go-Gurt the Go-Goat.
I'll give it an Ultra Ball.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Especially the way I start to slur if I talk too fast. I might just be saying Go-Goat, but it will come out as Go-Gurt.
It's a yogurt on the go. All
right.
It's the most extreme yogurt.
How about my Typhlosion that I named Vesuvius?
That is also an Ultra Ball. All right. That's a pretty solid Ultra Ball.
He has the move Eruption.
Nailed. Theme moves, even. Yeah, Ultra Ball.
Yeah. I'll pick a baddish one next time so it's not just us like, oh, we have the best nickname.
Oh, good nickname.
So next time I'll pick one that I am not particularly proud of.
Yeah, I have a sympathy win that I will just keep in my pocket till I need it. So I guess we're going to go do our Pokemon Spotlight.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Bulbasaur!
So if you guys remember, we did a poll of the Gen 1 starters after our last episode asking you who you want our next Spotlight Pokemon to be, and this was close.
It was close. It started off not close.
It was very strongly Squirtle for a long time.
Yeah, and then Bulbasaur, the little engine that could, just pulled right through.
This is the post on Reddit that got deleted.
Yeah.
But we got like 5 or 6 votes from it before it was taken down.
First of all, poor Charmander.
Well, here's what the final numbers were. I remember them because we only got 27 votes.
Right. So which is still a fair amount for a new podcast. It's
24 more than I expected. Two of them being us.
Yeah. Third one being
Sesha.
Okay.
But yeah, we got a lot of good participation through Facebook. I don't know if Twitter actually got anybody to vote.
I posted about it on Twitter on my personal account, and we retweeted it from our other podcast, The Morphin Grid, morphingrid.tumblr.com.
We also have a couple followers on here from Morphin Grid, so thank you, guys. I didn't write your names down.
I think I know them.
But we got Sky and Jay Shimosky. I think they're both from the Morphin
Grid. Oh, it's Joey.
Yeah, they're both from the Morphin Grid.
Yeah, they're both from the Morphin Grid.
They're actually our Q&As this week.
Oh, sweet. And there's also, hold on, let me get his real name. Alan is another one who came on over. He voted for Bulbasaur. He's on Twitter at PhoenixLight06. He's from the Morphin Grid, but I feel like he's new. I think he might... I say, where did he come from? Like,
right.
Because we just, like, sometimes there's a lot of podcasts...
Sometimes people just find us, and I can't fathom that. I don't understand how I
totally understand it. You look on iTunes for a thing and then click podcasts.
But I don't know how high up on that list we are, because we're brand spanking new.
But for Pokemon?
We have one... There's a lot of Pokemon podcasts.
There are.
They're just all not... They're all, like... talking about battling and competitive stuff.
Right.
And it has its place. It's just not what I'm looking for. I'm not going to say this every episode.
Right, yeah.
But, like, that's what they all are. And we're, like, brand new. We have one review. So I don't know, like, how high we are up on the hierarchy of Pokemon podcasts right now.
Right. But, yeah, there's a lot of different podcasts that are like, kind of in a sphere that have a lot of Venn diagrams because our other podcast is The Morphin Grid, which is a Power Rangers podcast. So there's two Power Rangers podcasts that we're kind of in contact with. There's
right.
Super Sentai Brothers and Ranger Danger. So, like, anyone who comes from there, then there. I also edit a Sailor Moon podcast that's relatively popular. So anyone who comes...
They plug the Morphin Grid on there.
Yeah, so, like, people come from there. Then if we talk about this, they come from that. There's also plenty of other places on the internet. Like, you just find podcasts. Like, I listen to, like, 35 podcasts. There are... quite a few of them that were not recommended that I was just like, hey, I need a podcast about this right now. Let me find it.
I only listen to three.
Three.
Very, very slowly.
Right. So I listen to about 8 hours a day, about 6.5 hours a day of podcasts because my job is pretty lax about it. Anyway, this is not about podcasts.
Anyway, the numbers of the poll, which is what started this whole thing, Bulbasaur won with 11 votes.
Okay.
Squirtle was second place with 9, and Charmander ended up with 7. So it was pretty close.
And it was 7.
It goes down by 2 each time.
The last I saw, it was only at 3.
Charmander was getting smoked before.
I mean, he's cute. I like him, but he's right. Not my favorite. Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I voted twice.
Did you? I voted for Squirtle once from my laptop, and I had it limited to 1 per IP.
Yeah.
So Sesha had to turn Wi-Fi off on her phone. And vote on 3G to be able to cast a vote. And I thought about doing it on mine, too, but I didn't.
I voted at work. And I voted here.
Well, even you...
Here's the thing,
game
though.
In the system didn't work.
Here's the thing, though. I voted for Squirtle once, and I voted for Bulbasaur once. Because on the one hand, I like Squirtle. He's my starter. He's my guy. He's my go-to guy.
Right.
On the other hand... Bulbasaur is super adorable, and he's number one Pokemon, so I figured it thematically.
So let's stop talking about how we got here. Start talking about the winner. Let's talk about Bulbasaur.
That's a good decision.
I have stuff broken down in a much better way this time. I have some information that I left out on Slowpokes, too. All right, so he or she, it's available as both. It's mostly male. It's like a 1 out of 5 chance that it'll be female.
It's 1 out of 7.
Maybe it's 1 out of 7.
Because I feel like
it's 12.5%.
Yeah, it's like an 8, I think.
Yeah.
It's 1 to 7, I think, is the ratio.
All right. So it's grass poison type. The average size of it is about 2 feet and 4 inches at 15.2 pounds.
Okay. It starts off as a double type. That's bananas.
It's the only starter that starts off with 2 types.
That's bananas. Okay. Go on.
So its natural ability is overgrow, which will power up grass type moves when it gets down to the... bleeping health.
Right, when you're in a pinch.
It does have a hidden ability, which is chlorophyll, which will raise its speed in the sun.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It is. I don't know if that's a great ability for...
Well, it's
Bulbasaur
a slower Pokemon,
Venusaur,
right?
Because it's more of a slow tank.
Yeah.
Up and at 'em.
But I mean, if you do get that speed boost and you go first, you know, you do more damage right out of the gate. So, like,
right.
I mean, that can be helpful.
Let's see. It'll evolve into Ivysaur at level 16 and then into Venusaur at level 32, which makes it the earliest out of this set of starters to get to its final evolution. Charizard and Blastoise both being level 36.
Okay. Are they all 16 to get to the second?
They're all 16 to get to the second.
That kind of makes up for...
In Gen 2, they're 14, 16, and 18, and then 32, 36, and 38. Whichever one evolves earlier first evolves later last.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Also, like, it evolving earlier kind of makes up for the fact that, like, it doesn't get really great moves. Like,
it gets, like, Vine Whip, which is super weak, and then it gets Razor Leaf, which is not on the same level as, like, Surf or anything.
Right.
It does get Solar Beam, but that takes a turn to charge to do anything, and you're just vulnerable the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, grass moves in Gen 1 were not great.
No.
They've gotten better. You got, like, Seed Bomb and stuff now, which really helps out. All right, so the gist of its Pokedex entries, I kind of compiled, like, the bullet points of all of them in the one thing. There's not a lot. A lot of them are basically the same.
Yeah.
I have a question mark next to this first part, though. A seed is planted on its back at birth.
From where?
Right?
What seed? Who plants this seed?
Later ones just say it has a plant on its back that sprouts as it grows.
Yeah.
But the first one says it's planted on its back at birth. So that kind of leads to... Is Professor Oak breeding these weird Pokemon in his lab?
I mean, that's like, kind of what it looks like. Like, what was a Bulbasaur before you put a seed on it?
Just a sore.
So weird.
Yeah. It'll use the bulb on its back to store energy. Later entries say that that bulb actually provides it with the nutrients as it grows.
But that kind of lines up both ways, though.
Yeah. It's just worded differently, depending on each way. And it's not uncommon to find them napping in direct sunlight.
Like beagles.
Like beagles, or, you know, to get the sunlight onto the plant on its back to help
feed it.
Flourish.
Give it some energy. Yeah. Yeah.
And then part of the anime description was that it's, like, crazy loyal. Even after long-term abandonment, it will be loyal to its trainer.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
I like that a lot.
I really like how loyal Bulbasaur is.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm kind of digging Bulbasaur. I do have a Venusaur that I have raised from egg, but yeah, he's kind of winning me over after doing this research.
Right.
As far as where you can find them in the wild, you can't.
You can't. Yeah, he's grown in a lab.
There's an offhand comment that says that starter Pokemon are specifically bred by Pokemon breeders to be starter Pokemon.
Bred from what?
Just, like... I don't know, man. Maybe they're from before the war, and they just had a couple left, so now they just breed them ad nauseum.
Like,
I don't like the idea that these three are specifically bred to be the starter Pokemon, because there's so many trainers that don't have any form of them.
Yeah, I don't know about any Bulbasaur line or Squirtle line, but I know there's a Charmeleon somewhere.
I think you eventually fight all of them.
Okay, but that's until, like, Victory Road. Yeah, yeah, like, I don't know, man.
But, like, there's so many trainers that just have, like, Pidgey and Rattata or Caterpies.
Right.
It's like, they could not have started with one of these three Pokemon.
Yeah, like, we'll have to do a bonus episode.
I understand a lot of people won't keep their starter. I don't get it, but I understand it.
Right.
I always keep my starter, because that's, like, my buddy.
Right, yeah, it's your guy.
I couldn't be doing this
without
that.
That's your number one son. You gotta run through the world with him.
That's wise. It definitely wants to use special attacks and does not want to take any kind of physical damage.
Okay.
It's not as slow as Slowpoke. It's not super fast, but its stats are pretty well-rounded, and they spike in the special stats, the special attack and special defense. Uh-huh. That's all I have written down. I have a little bit of trivia, but do you have anything else you wanted to do?
I have one piece of trivia.
All right.
The song I Choose You by Sarah Bareilles gets 1,000 times better if you imagine her singing it to her Bulbasaur.
Yeah, do we know she chose Bulbasaur?
I mean, dude, look at Sarah Bareilles and look me in the eyes afterwards and tell me she did not choose a Bulbasaur.
I can't, she totally chose
and
Bulbasaur.
And then if you try to picture that with a Squirtle, it doesn't work as well. And same with a Charmander, like, it's definitely a Bulbasaur.
The only piece I have, because I already mentioned that it's the only unevolved starter with two types.
Yeah.
The country, I wrote it phonetically, so I'm pretty sure I'm saying this right. The country of Niue has a special commemorative $1 coin that has Bulbasaur on it.
Why?
I don't know. There's a series of like collector's coins with Pokemon on them, and Bulbasaur's on their $1 coin.
That's awesome.
That's super awesome. They have one. I don't know which one. They have one with Pikachu.
Hey, if we have any listeners from Niue, send us $2.
It's a super tiny country from what I understand.
Oh, well, they have Pokemon on their money, of course.
They have Pokemon on their money.
Yeah, run by a nerd.
So that's all I have on Bulbasaur. Still trying to figure out how Pokemon Spotlights work.
I think that kind of works for now. What would you name a Bulbasaur?
I don't know. I did not name my Venusaur yet because I can't think of anything real clever or that I would be proud of.
Right. I would probably name, like in this current run, I would probably name it Bobby.
Sure.
Just because I'm giving them regular nicknames. In
Bobby could be short for Bulbasaur.
Yeah. In any other one, I would try to name it like a plant name. If it was a girl, I would name it like Rhododendron. Because that's my favorite flower, at least to say. I cannot picture them off the top of my head.
I love that flower. I don't really know.
My favorite flower is a lilac, if we want to get specific, but like I just love saying rhododendron. So like that, if it was a girl, I would say rhododendron. If it was a boy, probably Bobby.
Yeah, I don't have one for Bulbasaur. I tried to think of one, but I've been trying to think of one for a while, and nothing's coming.
Just
to me
nothing.
Yet.
I know Chris Sims in one of his last runs that I saw. This is Comics Alliance blogger, podcaster Chris Sims. He named his Gentaru, which is named after the main character of Kamen Rider Forze, who is, his whole thing is he's going to be friends with everyone. So if Bulbasaur is super loyal, that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Kind of tracks.
Yeah.
All right, so I think thus ends our Pokemon Spotlight on Bulbasaur. Are we going to do a poll for the next one?
I don't think so.
Okay. So we'll just pick one for next
time.
We'll
just pick one and we'll
let you
know.
If you have any suggestions, feel free to let us
Absolutely,
know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll try to do more polls and more interactive stuff. We just need to figure out
of what and where and how best to do that.
Yeah.
Once the community
straw poll works really well.
Yeah.
But that poll for the starters is up there forever. You can still vote now if you want. I don't think there's any way to shut it off.
Maybe in like 100 years, like someone will just find it on the internet and it'll be like 1 million for Bulbasaur.
Oh yeah. Go vote still if you haven't.
Yeah, just like jack those numbers.
Jack the numbers up, man.
That'd be great. So we're going to move on to our Q&A segment. All right, Josh, we got any Q's to A?
We've got two Q's to A
Q's
that are not from us. They're from other people.
Hot diggity dog.
This first one went to my personal Twitter account.
Okay.
It's from Sky. He's at Sandwich Surplus on Twitter. He's a friend of the Morphin Grid. Hopefully he'll be a friend of us here on World Tour as well.
I think so.
He just followed us today. But he asked me specifically a while ago, what's your ideal Pokemon party that you could pick from any generation? I had to get back to him. I was like, I need you to specify.
Right.
Do you mean in the Pokemon
this
game?
This is serious business.
Do you mean in the Pokemon game or if I was a Pokemon trainer for real? He said, if you were a Pokemon trainer for real.
So for real in real life. FRIRL.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have a team?
I do.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do want you to go first.
So my ideal Pokemon team, if I were to be a real Pokemon trainer, is Typhlosion, Mega Blastoise, Nidoking, Swellow, Luxray, and Crocodile. I would like to have Lapras, but I had to kick it off for Swellow for the convenience
of
flying. And Swellow is my favorite bird Pokemon, so he's definitely
a lock. That goes Talo,
Swellow,
and they don't. That's it. That's weird.
Yep.
Because like every other
Spearow only goes to Fearow,
but like every other Pidgey, like basic bird, like the number one basic bird, they go three times. So that's I just always equated Talo to that. Okay, so here's mine. I got my boy Teddy Ursa.
Right.
I got an Eevee to be determined what he evolves into later. I got a Feraligatr, a Zangoose, a Hawlucha, and a Delphox, because those are all my boys. I really like Zangoose. Zangoose is like the only Gen 3 Pokemon that I genuinely love. and then I got a Hawlucha in there because he's a wrestler. And
Hawlucha is a very cool
and
Pokemon.
It can also fly, so yeah. I got that. I got Feraligatr because I've been on the most adventures with Feraligatr, so I have a special place in my heart for that. And then obviously Teddy Ursa is my favorite Pokemon, and Eevee's like my number two, like a close number two.
Right.
And then Delphox, because I had a lot of fun going through X and Y, Avada Kedavra-ing people with my witch Hermione, with my fox witch Hermione.
Delphox is cool. I don't know. When they first revealed Fennekin, Delphox was the farthest thing from. I did not expect it to go that way.
I had no idea what I was expecting. I'm kind of glad it did because they're all kind of D&D classes. I do wish that they would have done something to where like the secondary types were the opposite of the last one.
Right, so they were all super effective against primaries and then backwards against secondaries. Yeah, that would have been neat.
And it looked like they were going that way for a minute, but then they just didn't.
I mean, kind of. No, it's different. It's not the inverted circle.
If you switched...
I think they're all still super effective against the same one.
If you switch Chestnut... What the heck is that thing called?
Chestnut
and Greninja. If you switch their secondary types, it would work.
Yeah, but the way it is now, it does not. They stay the same because psychic is still against fighting, is still against dark, is still against psychic.
So
it's still a circle. It's just the same direction.
The same circle. I thought it would have been cool if they would have went the other way. What's the other question we got?
The other question comes from Jay Shimosky, Joe, our boy Joe.
Your boy and mine, Joe.
He asks a very peculiar question I did some research on, so I have some stuff to say. Not like a whole lot, but some stuff.
Okay.
Would you make Brock Lesnar a primeape or a Machoke?
I would make him a Machamp.
Yes. Out of those two, I short answered him on Twitter. I was like, we're going to talk about this, but short answer, Machoke. Because out of those two, Machoke.
Yeah.
Definitely a Machamp, though.
Yes.
He's not a primeape because he's not just like super angry all the time.
And
like,
he's not very hairy.
No. Although a primeape does have like white fur.
It would make sense, but like, first of all, he's
character wise, that's not like how Brock Lesnar. Right. Like, he's mad. Sure, he's a mad guy, and he beats people up, but not the way that Primeape is or does. But for Machamp, there's specific Pokemon entries that say if he grabs you, he's gonna throw you.
That makes perfect sense.
That's definitely Brock Lesnar
in a nutshell. Also, like, he was a champion for a while. He's still sort of the champion in a lot of ways, in a lot of weird ways. He doesn't have the belt or anything, but he didn't. Right. He was never pinned for it.
Right.
So, like, you know, he's got that claim. And also, like, he's the final boss of professional wrestling right now. It's like him and Mil Muertes are the two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely put him at Machamp. But, like, between those two, Machoke.
Machoke.
But he might as well have four arms, you know? He's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that all we're going
to
do?
That's it for Q&A. I want to pose a couple questions. One, would you guys want us to do any kind of giveaways or anything? Because I can just breed some, like, whatever spotlight Pokemon we have. I could breed a few and we can have, like, a contest. Like, answer a question or just hashtag this and I'll pick five people and we'll send you Bulbasaur. We won't do Bulbasaur because I'm not prepared for this. but if that's a thing you want us to do, let us know. I can start a new game on, like, Pokemon X or whatever and I can name it PWC Podcast so that it'll be, like, official. So let us know if that's a thing you think you guys want to participate in and that we should do.
That would be pretty cool. It's very low stakes, but it's like a fun little, you know.
That's an official giveaway.
Yeah.
That you can only get right here at the Pokemon World Tour podcast.
Ding!
And my other question is, I know we don't have a lot of listeners right now. We don't have a huge fan base. But how cool would it be if we could get a Pokemon World Tour Pokemon League together? If you have like a Pokemon badge that you think would represent you, like it's just an idea floating around, let us know what it is. Send it in.
I have one for me.
Yeah.
Kind of already. I might have two.
I don't have any badge idea. My team would be what I just said.
Right. My team would not be.
But I have some ideas for rules and stuff. If this is a thing you guys want to get off the ground, like, I can just start a subreddit. It can be self-governed. I don't mind. Get 10 symbols, beat 10 people, and be the champion. We'll have a big tournament to determine the first one. It'll be a lot of fun.
That could be real cool. Tell us. Tell us if you're into that.
And let us know any other things we can do to get you guys involved, because I want audience participation to be.
Because our other podcast like has like a lot of listener involvement, so like we're kind of familiar with it. But I want this one to be like community involvement. Yeah. Like, you know, I liked the poll; I thought that was real fun. Like seeing numbers that I knew were not us.
Yeah,
you know, that's pretty fun. And like just like, you know, people talking about Pokemon. It's a cool thing, and I think Pokemon is meant to be communal, you know?
Definitely.
Because, like, from the beginning, you have to trade to get them all. You have to talk to another person with different Pokemon than you.
Or buy another Game Boy, another game.
Look,
not all of us have deep social anxieties. I get it.
Well, there's that. And also, like, not all of us were, like, 1% billionaires with a Sega Genesis and a Super Nintendo.
Two Super Nintendos.
The richest kid. The richest of kids. So
living in income-based housing.
Thank you very much for listening. If you want to get a hold of us, there's a lot of places you can do that. At PWT Podcast on Twitter.
Yeah, we're at facebook.com/PWT Podcast.
PWTpodcast.tumblr.com.
Or you can email us at PWTpodcast@gmail.com.
Pretty simple, right, guys?
I got the branding down on this one. I locked those all in.
We crushed the SEO on this one. Also, our theme music is The Destiny Infinite by Darksword. That's DarkeSword. You can check him out on Twitter at that. The song is off the OC Remix Eevee EP, which you can download at eevee.ocremix.com, which I highly, highly recommend it. It's really good.
And all other music from the podcast is from the Heart Gold and Soul Silver official Super Music Collection, which you can get on iTunes for the low, low price of $9.99.
Definitely go do that too.
It's like 400 tracks. It's There's like so a million. Many.
It's
songs
like
on
270, I think, on the version. It's a treasure trove.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Pokemon World Tour. It was pretty dense. I think all the gym leader ones might be, although they're not all as deep as Giovanni. Next episode, we're going to see you guys in Pewter City. I'm Josh.
I'm Jake.
And until next time,
smell you later.